This is Freedom Fiends! Mr. Derek J, broadcasting from Podbay 2K! Professional Prisoner Studios. We blast only the highest quality happiness waves out into the atmosphere. This surrounds the globe with good vibrations and forces bad hamsters to surrender and cools your stool to a tepid and terrific 200 degrees. Can you feel it, Brett? Can you feel it?
I feel it. I feel it in a very hot third floor studio in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I'm nice and cool.
Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
It was a good week for not being contacted by the government.
Good. Me neither. Hey, but a friend of mine was contacted. Right. He sure was last night. He pulled a gun out New Hampshire, where lots of people have guns, and that was a dangerous thing to do. I sort of want to talk about it and talk about what we can learn from people who pull guns out on others. We'll talk about that.
Sure.
Plus, I want to talk about another friend of mine who confronted the governator of New Hampshire, Maggie Hassan. She's a drug warrior, and these guys pulled out a camera on her. And it's got more people upset than the gun, quite honestly. And that I have a problem with. So we'll talk about that and things that affect your life. We'll give you news you can use. Tips and tricks.
I watched these two videos before we started, and yeah, they really both charged me up for different reasons. One was positive and one was negative. I do have to say I had a much more positive reaction to the video where the gun was pulled instead of the camera.
It's so disturbing that that's the truth, but that is what happens, and we are fortunate to live in the age of video where we can see these things instantly and then comment on them. So here we go. Which one do you want to cover first, Brett? The gun or the camera?
Oh, let's save the gun one because it's so good. Let's start with the camera.
All right. So New Hampshire Governor Maggie Hassan came to Keene State College. I am broadcasting from Keene, New Hampshire. You are where?
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Worms. And it's always exciting when politicians come to Keene, because there are these activists that live here and they aren't afraid to get up in the politicians' faces and say nasty things to them, make them uncomfortable and squirm. And then doing that on camera is all the better because people get to watch that and they don't even have to be courageous. They can just watch a video in the comfort of their home and say, ah, look at that. That politician's really getting it. And I like that. That's one of the things that really drew me to Keene years ago. And I was like, wow, look at what people are doing. I need to join them and reinforce these gutsy activists. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there.
It's something you don't see enough elsewhere, yeah.
It's true, yeah. I mean, if politicians were harangued as they properly should be everywhere, they just wouldn't leave their offices. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd do their tyranny in the privacy of their own ivory towers. But instead, people embrace them. They ask them to speak at colleges, as was the case here. And so they have occasion to come out and wear suits and be in front of the people and smile and stuff. But I didn't want that happening. I didn't want this going over easy for Miss Maggie Hassan, because she's a drug warrior, man. And she's a real pain in my butt because I carry a gun. I carry it concealed. That is illegal to do in New Hampshire without permission. And it's annoying that that's illegal, because I'm afraid that one of these days the cops are going to be like, oh, hey, Dirk, you're not allowed to do that, and we're going to put you in jail now, okay? I mean, it's actually only a misdemeanor. It's only
Really?
Yeah, it's honestly, it's like a $100 fine. I think it's a violation. It's not even a misdemeanor or something, but yeah, don't quote me on that. I'm not a lawyer.
City of Manchester more than that right now in parking tickets.
Good for you, man. Are you going to fight those parking tickets? Please tell me yes.
I'm going to try, man. They sent me a bill for $210 and threatened to put a boot on my car.
A boot?
Yeah.
They haven't done
it. The boot?
I've gotten a boot recently.
No.
I got a boot.
Really?
Yeah. I was overnight on a booty call at a college, and the college put a boot for my booty call. They were like, you can't do
and
that.
How did you get it off?
I was really sweet and buttery to the what are they called? Security agents or whatever. And plus, I was in a Crown Vic, and I think that helped. You know, I was borrowing my friend's black and white cruiser, and so they sort of, like, saw me as their other. I don't know if maybe that's what was going on, but they were, like, saw me as a cop almost. Like, I'm a cop lover because I've got the cop mobile. So they were like, oh, he's one of us. It's all right. Let him slide.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry about your boot situation, man. You'll have success fighting it.
Well, it hasn't happened yet. Yeah. They do this odd even parking thing here in the winter where you can only park on the odd side of the street on odd numbered days of the month. And it can get a little confusing.
Odd.
And one day, there were three vehicles, that I was responsible for, and all of them got tickets, adding up to $75 in one day.
Yeah. How are you responsible for, what do you have, a fleet of cars? Are you a taxi service or something?
No, I was watching a friend's car. I had driven a friend to the airport, so I had his vehicle, I had my car, and I had my girlfriend's car. So all of us got tickets, $75 in one day. Now, I said I'm going to fight it, but I'm going to go in there and be sweet and buttery and see if that works for me as well as it works for you.
Yeah, be like, I love cops. I love parking enforcement. I love boots. I love to lick them and have them on my car, but please, not today.
Yeah, you can catch more with butter than you can with vinegar. So we'll try that.
Worms. Okay, so back to Maggie. She came to Keene State College to give a commencement speech at their graduation this week. And I knew about this coming up, but unfortunately I had work, so I wasn't able to attend it. But a couple of friends of mine, Ian Freeman, he hosts Free Talk Live, and Rich Paul, he is a co-host of Free Talk Live and also is famous for his civil disobedience activism here in Keene regarding marijuana legalization. And he openly uses cannabis out in the town square and gets arrested for it, and he went to jail quite famously, had a Vice article and many others written about him because he courageously refused a plea deal that offered him 0 days in jail in exchange for admitting guilt to the crime of selling pot. Ooh. How bad. He sold pot. Yep, like many other people, millions perhaps have done across the U.S., just haven't been caught for it. But he did it quite openly, and even though he admitted it and was open about it on the stand, he wouldn't say, yes, I'm guilty. He was saying, no, not guilty. Yes, I did it, but you should send me home anyway. Yeah, of a crime, right, exactly. Yes, I'm guilty of selling pot, but no, I'm not guilty of a crime, and so you should let me go. And he stood on principle, man. I mean, it takes a lot to say, okay, he was facing 81 years in jail. 81 years. Just think about the rest of your life is about to go away. Could go away. And he said, fine. I'm still saying not guilty. I'm not going to play your game and admit guilt and be coerced into saying something that I don't agree with on principle. So that takes a lot of courage. I respect him a lot. But he decided to confront the woman who is responsible for the drug war here in New Hampshire, because the House and the Senate have voted for cannabis legalization, right? I don't follow politics, but I think that's the situation. And Maggie has promised to veto that. So if the politicians who supposedly represent the people of New Hampshire say, yeah, pot's fine, okay? We're done with this throwing people in cages for having a plant thing. Maggie is like, no, we must continue to put people in cages. We must rip them from their families, ruin parents and children's lives, give them permanent records. And this is a good thing. This is what New Hampshire values, according to Maggie. And so he had some words for this woman. Like,
yeah. Well, first of all, Derek, I don't think there's any expectation that Maggie Hassan as the governor is going to be doing the people's will. Not that politicians do that anyway, but that's something that is supposed to happen, you know, at the legislative level, right? Those are the people who allegedly do the people's will. And yeah, I think at least through the New Hampshire House, they had gotten this decrim bill, a medical bill at one point. I mean, they've been working on this for years, and it was being struck down by the previous Democratic New Hampshire governor as well. But a governor is more of like the chief administrator of the state, you know.
She's
so
like
I would think there'd
cop,
be very
right?
little expectation.
She's the executive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. It's no surprise. She's all for the enforcement and the cages. And it's so disgusting to see. I mean, I was in jail here in New Hampshire, and there are plenty of people. The cops love to tell the story like, oh, there's no one in jail for pot. We don't do that anymore. You know, it's a slap on the wrist or it's a fine. But no, I tell you the truth. There are people in jail for pot possession alone. And that's a crime, in my view. Not the possession, the putting them in jail part. That's a real crime. Because you're ripping people from their families and stuff, and just for having a plant in their pocket, it's ridiculous. And it's the
you're
rest of New England.
Much harder for pot dealers to get pot too.
Yes, that's a crime. That imagine if they were still putting people in jail for brewing beer and stuff, which New Hampshire has a lot of microbrews
right.
and stuff. But yes, so I think she's a real criminal. Doing a lot of damage and confronting a person like that with words and a video camera seems to me an appropriate, peaceful response. You know, some people would say guns are appropriate. I would strongly disagree with that. You know, like violence is not the answer. Peaceful solutions are the answer. And so confronting with words and video camera is one of those solutions. However, you and I both watched this video of our friend Ian, Ed, and Rich confronting the governor at graduation. She's marching in a line. She's got her graduation suit on, and she really can't run. She's in this little, like, walking in step. And they're asking, you know, how many lives have you ruined today, Maggie? And, you know, 70 people in jail for a year, that's like one murder. You know, you're taking one person's whole life. And they're really drilling her. It was uncomfortable to watch. Was this as uncomfortable for you as it was uncomfortable for me?
It made me a little uncomfortable, but I want to hear more about your experience when we come back.
Yeah, I mean, these people are my friends, but I've got some critiques for them.
Cool.
Let's take a trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Meow. 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 Meow.
Worms. Worms, worms, worms.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah, our friends are weird. They went to the college and gave the governor what's for. See? She puts people in cages, and they don't like that because they've both been in one. And they wanted to let her know how much they disapprove. And they did it in a place where she really couldn't run because she was obligated to be there. And the look on
she
her face...
She was roped off, too.
Yeah, she sure was. She was roped off and robed on. she is so sad in this video. And honestly, as a fellow human being who also has feelings, I felt feelings that were sad for her. I felt uncomfortable. As I saw her face, she was like, oh man, I'm being victimized. I don't like this. And like, sure. I know she's a villain. I know she's responsible for ruining people's lives. And I still felt bad for her. I couldn't shake that humanity, man. What about you? What were some of your reactions, like, emotionally? Did you have emotions when you saw
not
this?
Not being able to shake that, because I don't know if I felt bad for Maggie, but I definitely, it could have gone better, the interaction, you know? I think, like, this is a person who has the power to change a year of legislative work with one stroke of her pen. You know, what attitude changes came about for her in that interaction about this issue? You know, is she going to think more positively about decrim after that experience? Or does that even matter? It's very easy to critique it, you know, for me. And I mean, you've been on the ground, Derek and Keen. You've confronted people like this. You've done civil disobedience.
I confronted Maggie Hassan. I've done this at Keene State College. When she arrived, I was there with a video camera and she couldn't run. She had to walk past me and I asked her questions.
Right. So people like you and Rich Paul and Ian have more of a dog in this fight.
Yeah.
You know, than I do, an outsider. Especially Rich Paul, who, like you said in the last segment, was facing at one point 81 years in jail. So it's an emotional issue for him. And, you know, they're very close to it. And I'm not. So it's easier for me to critique the way they approached Maggie Hassan.
You know? Yeah. Well, the way I see it. Sorry, you had more thoughts.
No, I was just going to say, I would have tried to. I would have, from my point of view, gone about it in a more peaceful and non-confrontational way. But is she really listening? Is it more just a performance art thing? Is anything, no matter how positive an interaction you could have with her, really going to change her mind when she's probably beholden to police and prison guard unions? Which I think is the case. I think that's why she doesn't want to budge on that issue.
Wow, interesting. I really hadn't considered who she's beholden to. I thought she's like top cop, head tyrant, can do whatever she wants. But I guess you're right. Mm. She does sort of have pressure from these people. And she probably has political aspirations that she wants to climb higher. And you can't piss people off down below you. You know, the people who got you there and will support you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but the to your question,
what's it going to do for her reputation if she's got a state full of Rich Pauls and Ian Freemans running around when she leaves office?
Oh, if only that would be great. But so, no, I don't care. She's not going to have her mind changed by this interaction. And I knew that. I think a lot of the people. So the reason, first of all, I would just be like, haha, fun video. That was cool. Let's do it again sometime. But the reason I am talking about this now, and the reason I'm kind of upset about it, is because Ian posted this onto the Free State Project Facebook page, which has like 5-10,000 people or so. I don't know. It has a lot. It's not all people who have moved to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project, which is an idea to move 20,000 like-minded, liberty-loving people to get active for liberty in our lifetime, whatever that sort of means to you. And you and I, Brett, are both people who have done that. We're both in New Hampshire. As part of the Free State Project. So the people on this page are thinking about moving to New Hampshire. Maybe they've already moved. And Ian posted this video saying, like, hey, look what we did today. And people got upset. They saw this and they were like, I don't want that representing me. I don't want that strategy. I think you guys are setting us back. I mean, you're probably the reason why we don't even have legal marijuana here in New Hampshire. It's people like you. Worms.
I have heard that said.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Do you have access?
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends, we're back. Maggie Hassan, she's a villain, man. All governors are, in my opinion. I didn't choose them. I don't want her ruling over me. I don't want her doing the things that she's doing every day, sending people to jail. And I like
it. You don't have an all-time favorite governor?
I guess, who's that guy? Jesse Ventura was a governor once. He was in Minnesota. And who's the governor? It's not the Duma. Yeah, Arnold, right.
Right. I'm not a fan of his governing, but I am a fan of Arnold.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Politicians, they say politics is Hollywood for ugly people. And he's one of the pretty ones. So, you know, he's going to be one of my favorites. I mean,
Hollywood for people in poorly fitting jeans, we might say.
Well, no, Rick Perry wears jeans very well. And he was the governor of Texas for a while. Greg Abbott is now the governor of Texas. I know way too much about some of these politician people. Let me scrub my fiend brain with the fiend eraser and get rid of some of that information. Make room for more important stuff. So,
absolutely.
I like it when my friends do this. I've done this. I ambush interviewed Maggie Hassan on this very same piece of land. Keene State College is presumably public property, but Ian and Rich were ejected. Some security agents were like, "Hey, sir, you got to come here. We don't like what you're doing with your words and speech and stuff, and we don't have freedom of speech or association here in America, so you got to go." And, you know, they did.
That man had a clipboard, too.
Oof, wow. You know you're powerful when you've got the clipboard. So, yeah, he said he was just following orders, too, which is very courageous of him that he took the initiative to just follow orders. And I don't like that. First of all, I wish I was part of the B team. You know, there was like an A team, and there should have been a B team when Maggie leaves, she should be confronted again. So one of the reasons why I like this activism is that it makes politicians feel unwelcome in Keene. They're like, Maggie's going to know the next time she schedules an event like for Keene State College. "Hey, Maggie, we'd like you to speak at Keene." She'll be like, "No, I have a previous engagement. I really would rather not go to Keene with those horrible Keene activists like Ian and Rich, and who knows who else has moved since then." She didn't know who I was. And there are others who do activism. It's not just Ian here. So it makes them feel unwelcome.
You don't think she would just like, do a decree where the campus police have to do a better job of keeping the riffraff out if she's going to come back?
Sure.
Like, we'll learn from this time, like, I will not be taking questions people on the other side of the rope.
No, yes, the rope, we have to have more ropes. I don't know what the solution is, but when Rick Santorum came to Keene, we did a similar thing where I was holding a sign that said, "Feds out of NH," and was trying to confront him at his rally at the library. And the police said that they acted on behalf of his campaign team to remove me. And that made it to the Associated Press. So I think that they learn that they're not supposed, like the old world style of governing where you just eject people and use the muscle of the state to remove people you don't like. That doesn't really work in the age of cameras. It makes you look bad, and you should look bad if you're using violence, which is essentially what this is, threats of violence against peaceful people. Just for asking questions. I mean, what, you can't answer questions? You can't just ignore questions and hold up to them? I mean, you must be pretty weak if you need to use violence against people who are asking questions. So, I think it discourages politicians from coming to Keene, which I like. They should all stay away. And second, it attracts the kinds of people who would want to do this sort of video. So, it has a dual effect. Both the ways that I like. But there are people, like I was mentioning before we went to last free market break, where they say, "You're taking this movement back a step. It's two steps forward, one step back because of you. You guys with your cameras and your questions."
You know, the whole attracting people who are willing to do this, I think there's like a quota that can be reached for that type of person.
What do you mean? And like there aren't many of us out there?
No, I think that you only need so much of that style. Like one of those videos goes a long way, but if everybody was just I don't want to use the word belligerent. I don't want to use it, but for some reason it's the first word that comes to mind for me after watching that interaction, that indignation, that trying to shame people. You know, I mean, most people at that event are on Maggie Hassan's side. So, and that's true with a lot of politicians. So I just don't know if I like the activism. Now, it got you here, and I've said this on Free Talk Live before to Ian. That was a good thing, that this style of activism brought somebody like you here. But it could also bring somebody who sees these videos and they say, hey, those people are annoying that man or woman. Yes. I like to annoy men and women. I'm going to go there and annoy people.
Yeah, it
and
certainly has attracted
them. You also have this kind of insular effect, right, where the activism can become a little bit closed off. And people aren't really being objective about what they're doing anymore. It's just like a support group. And you could get to a point where maybe criticism is not welcome, or any kind of criticism that is meant as constructive.
But
actually seen as antagonists. Yeah, I know there's people in there going on.
Whoa.
Activism.
Ah, stop, Brett.
I don't know if I fully agree with that. I try to see both sides of it, and I'm really not in.
Hey, I don't know what happened. The NSA is playing all kinds of tricks with us, but I'll just tell you, yes, it is good that this sort of activism attracted me, and I want more people like me and Ian and Rich to come here. And yeah, it is kind of belligerent, but let's not forget there was a third person at this event who, his name is Ed. He was not being belligerent, but he was using a video camera. He was asking questions of Maggie. He was being confrontational in a way, but he didn't have to, I don't know, I wouldn't use the word belligerent. It's all about tone and delivery. If you're shouting, as Rich tends to do, he's a louder guy, and if you're using a tone of anger, which I can get it. You know, they've been in state cages. This is a state rep or a governor, so they're going to be angry. They're going to use that tone with her. But I don't think that's not the one I would want to use, and that's not what Ed used, and I think he came out looking good in this. So what do you think about Ed's approach?
And what did... I'm sorry, Derek, I actually dropped... I know we talk about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff here on the Freedom Fiends, and Fiend Phone dropped out for a minute there, so
Worms.
You're going to have to bring me up to speed on Ed.
Well, I'm going to say it was probably the NSA and not Fiend Phone. I blame the government, not the wonderful programmers behind the scenes. But Ed was the third person who was also at that event, who you may not have seen on the video, but he took video himself. He was confronting Maggie about the issue of... what's that public school thing? You probably know about this. It's the
Common Core.
Common Core. Yeah, he's not happy with it, man. And he's got some kids, and he doesn't make enough money to pay the state for the state school and send his kids to a private school. So he has to resort to the free one, you know, quote unquote free that you pay for school. And he doesn't like what happens. Like, his daughter was sent home recently for having shorts that were too short. And he had to come and bring her new pants, and they said it was a self-respect issue. How insulting is that? Then they crammed down this Common Core.
That's very insulting.
I think so. You know, then they crammed down this Common Core thing that he doesn't support, and it's like, hey, this isn't how I want my child treated, this isn't how I want my child educated, and you, lady, you're supposed to be responsible for this. So what are you going to do about it? And he was... he had a different tone. He talked to her like another human being, and I like that. I like his approach more than I like Ian and Rich's. They were both shouting at a woman who couldn't respond, and he was trying to reach a woman. Like, it's a little bit kind of the difference of what you were saying of, are they reaching her? Are they going to change her mind about the way she votes one way or another? Like, I think Ed was acting as if he could change her mind. Maybe he knows that he's really not going to, but it looks better on video when you are polite and respectful of other human beings, even if they're your enemy.
Absolutely, because you're already going up into that situation with strikes against you as far as like mainstream opinion is concerned. Oh, you've got a cause? Well, you must be crazy. What kind of person has a cause? You know, what kind of person holds a sign in the middle of the day when respectable people are at work? You know, that kind of attitude. So the better you can present yourself, you know, and I'm not talking about you know, running and hiding or holding something back, but just saying, having an honest conversation with yourself about what am I hoping to accomplish with my activism? Are these strategies working? If the point of these strategies is not to work politically, let's say, what kind of public relations does it produce, positive or negative? I think those are worthwhile questions.
Yeah. I wonder if it was just cathartic. Like, this is Ian and Rich, who have been to jail for various non-crimes, victimless crimes, and I think that they wanted some sort of release. Like, I need to hold someone responsible for what happened to me. This isn't right. There was an injustice done to me, and this woman is responsible, and I'm going to let her have it. And I'm not going to use violence, because that's not an appropriate method, but I will shout and use words, you know, and they thought that that was the right thing to do. Anyway, I liked it. I liked the video. I can see why it would turn some people off. But the objection of, oh, this is ruining the movement, or this is, you know, why we don't have legalization of cannabis in New Hampshire, I think that's baloney. Those people are confused. That is not a new objection. The things that Ian and Rich do cannot ruin what thousands of others are doing across the state. And if they can, I challenge those other thousands to try harder. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FeenPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Fiends reconvenes. All right, Chris Cantwell, he who shall not be named, but we just did it. He is a friend of mine. I know that's going to upset Michael, but I'm saying it. Michael, the regular host of the Freedom Fiends. Hey, I got this friend. He lives in town, and we hang out sometimes. His name is Chris Cantwell. He writes a very controversial blog and videos and stuff. His most famous one, probably put him on the map, was When to Shoot the Mailman. And, you know, I don't agree with his stance on violence and when to use it, but his stance has been changing over time. See, I've been rubbing off on him. Ian's been rubbing off on him. Living in Keene, as opposed to the police state of New York City, has been rubbing off on him. And so he had a very interesting confrontation recently. Oh my gosh. I can't believe what just happened. He's just walked into studio. So you are not getting on a microphone right now. But I will talk about what video you just produced. So on his blog, ChristopherCantwell.com, I just saw he was at my house last night watching for a flag thief, someone who's been stealing property from my porch. And he's been volunteering to be a vigilant guard. And
yeah.
The flag thief didn't show up. Or maybe he did. We're not quite sure if some of the people who walked by were the right guy. But anyway, when he left, he was walking home. It was probably like 3 a.m. or so. And heard some screaming from some women screaming. and some men's voices. So he pulls out his video camera and starts recording what is going on a porch down the street. The people who see him video recording don't like it. They start to confront him, and they take a violent stance towards him. And at some point, he feels his life is being endangered, drops the phone that was previously video recording, and instead pulls his gun and says, "Look, I'm not getting in a fist fight with you tonight, stupid." Not smart, probably.
Well, Derek, there's more to it than that.
Well, what is that?
You can't get into a physical entanglement while you have a loaded gun on your hip. You know, I think that for him to be able to think that quickly, I mean, because it's certainly a risky move to do what he did, but it was executed, from what I saw in the video, it was executed perfectly. And I can't imagine, you know, there was some shouting. There was some swearing, but I cannot imagine myself staying that calm in that kind of a situation. I was like really impressed with the video, and to be able to make that that decision in a split second that like, all right, there's going to be a fight here. And to pull the gun to back a person off versus risking a situation where you get into a scuffle, you go down to the ground, the gun comes loose, the other person can grab it. You know, that's dangerous. So, yeah, I was impressed with what I saw or what I heard. Most of it is what you can hear in the video.
Yeah.
Because you can't pull a gun on somebody and film it at the same time and, you know, frame everything perfectly. That would be really amazing.
Not yet. I look for the day when we have, like, watch drones or something, you know, like some. They've almost got this technology possible where you would be able to have, you know, a boy and his drone where it pretty much follows you with a GPS sensor or something. So I'm looking for the day when I've got a little helicopter flying thing near my head that's buzzing around and filming me at all times. Just in case something happens, you've got the video live stream or something to keep you safe. That would have been perfect in this scenario.
How about this, though? How about this? You've seen the Steadicam belts that they use in filmmaking, you know, the guy wears like a belt. So you have this belt and you press a button, one out of one side, steady cam, out of the other side, steady gun.
Boom. Yeah.
Right.
That's a great invention. I think you just
you're
made your
great
next
shots.
Million.
Yeah.
You're getting great shots in, out of both. So, hey,
well, you don't have to fire the gun. Go ahead.
The best thing that Chris Cantwell did in this whole scenario, in my opinion, was video record. That is the most important thing. Because the gun, all of that, it wouldn't have mattered if he didn't have video of this whole thing. So that was the smartest thing. And then dropping the video and making sure there's audio. How about the way that he talked to the cops, too? I mean, that was pretty surprising.
Perfect. It was very well done.
Well,
and video makes a great example, you know, because things like this do happen and more people should be armed, but nobody is really ready for a situation like that. So, like I said, great example video.
I think it was also a lesson for the kids out there, for those ladies, that they shouldn't have been screaming in the middle of the night if it wasn't a real emergency, because it sets off people's warning bells and says, I got to intervene. I got to help some people who are in danger. Right? And maybe he didn't even need to be there. All right. This is The Fiends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow, meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow.
Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Hey, Derek.
Yes, sir.
Your meows are me-wow.
Me?
Tonight, I have to say.
Thank you, man. I'm feeling good. I took my fiend nap before the fiend show, and I'm drinking my tea out of my banker's mug. Have I told you about my banker's mug? It's pretty cool. It's got
But tell me about it.
It's sort of macabre. It's got a man. So first of all, it's got the word bankers across it, and there's a man who's hanging from the S. It's just a silhouette, and there's cash flying out of his pockets. So I guess the implication here, what it's signifying is hang the bankers, but I'm not a violent guy. I don't want to hang bankers. I just think it's kind of funny. You know, I could just use Bitcoin.
That sounds like a nice mug.
And I like it. I like a little bit of dark humor. So, but hey, man, you haven't had internet for a while, and I want to know what it's like to be from 1990 yeah. again.
Well, boy, I mean, now I do have access to anything I need at a moment's notice through my phone, obviously. But, yeah, I like to have a bunch of tabs open on a couple monitors in front of me, and that just hasn't been the case. I moved about a week ago. We're still waiting for the company to come and set us up. That's going to be tomorrow. So, yeah, I've gotten a lot of other things done in the meantime. I've done some reading out of books, and it hasn't been too bad. Moving is hard. It's a lot of work.
How do the books smell?
Oh, they stink.
Yeah.
You know, compared to the internet, books are so stinky.
I've noticed that. Like, that's one of the things when I see books these days. Like, there's one of the shows I do is called Flaming Freedom, and one of our co-hosts, Neil, swears that he can detect a book's age within a year just by smelling it. And he's got, I think, so far, a perfect record of, like, you know, books, they tend not to be over 100 years old, so he's got like a 1 in 100 chance, let's say, of guessing the correct age of a book. But he's been very accurate with that. It's weird that books seem to age, they decompose at a rate that has a distinct smell for each year. Like, you walk into a library and it has that library smell, right?
Yeah.
I think
it's just decaying books.
It's the books dying. So, okay, you've been what kind of stuff have you been reading? I mean, it's nothing new, because the internet, that's what has all the new stuff. So you're reading, what, Plato?
Oh, you know, I've been reading Nathaniel Brandon. You know who he is?
I should know that name, and people are going to be, like, smacking themselves saying, Derek, you're so stupid, but no, I don't know.
Yeah, he was a psychologist. No, I think a lot of people don't know who he was.
I do know who he was. He's, Yeah, Nathaniel Brandon, who's... All right, go on. Sorry, I'm interrupting, and I know very little about him.
So I've just been working my way through one of his books. It's called The Art of Self-Discovery. It's kind of a workbook. I talked a little bit about it on my show recently. But I didn't have much time for the internet, because the internet can be a major time sink. And I had moving to do. I had boxes to unpack. And, you know, when I used to move, I used to have, like, 10 boxes of books, and I've got it down to about 4 now, 4 boxes of books, and I'm happy about that. I unloaded a lot of books, and as a result, my living quarters smell much better now.
Well, don't lose all your books.
No, I like to keep a few around.
Well, one of my heroes, John Waters, said that we need to make reading books cool again, and his strategy or proposed strategy for doing that is... don't sleep with anyone who doesn't have books. If you go on a date and you make it back to that person's house and they don't have books on the wall, don't sleep with them. You see, if we don't breed with these people, they'll die out, and we want only book people.
Okay, well, has he updated that? Because, like, should we be able to, like, look at their browser history now, maybe?
No, this is a recent statement by John Waters. I'm saying books need to be cool. People who read books, it does something different to your mind. Like, I do a lot of reading, I read articles, I consume a lot of words on pages, but there's something different that happens in your mind when you read a book, when there's your imagination is playing a movie. Like, I work at a thrift store, and sometimes some of the fun of working at a thrift store is writing on the tags, like, of what the item actually is. And I added to a bunch of books that I labeled recently, it's like a movie in your head. And I'm hoping that will help sell the books, but I'm trying to explain to people who might not know what books are, how they work. So, I don't know. I don't read books anymore, and I'm really sad about that. I see them on the on my bookshelf. I have them there so that people will sleep with me, and I get bored sometimes, and I'm like, I don't want to see anything on the internet. I don't really feel like watching a movie. What should I do? Should I read a book? I'm like, no, don't do that. That'll be even more boring than just staring at the wall.
This is what I say. Don't get into bed with any of your devices. People like to do this. And I was, you know, one night I went to bed with my phone in my hand, my e-cig in my other hand, and my iPod on. And that's too many devices to go to bed with.
Yeah. Right?
So sometimes it's nice. A nice way to fall asleep is with a book.
That's a good point. It's not very feng shui.
How do you feel about that?
I like that. I think it's a good idea. You and your book are like a partner. You're falling asleep together. Mm-hmm. And you know they're not going to nudge you and wake you up. Like, my phone will do that. You nudged me and woke me up today while I was taking a nap before Freedom Fiends. And it's like, bling. Okay.
Through our phones. Now,
yeah. So I was falling asleep with my device against your recommendation. And it's a disaster. I think you're right. You're onto something. And
I don't think we should have any electronics in our bedroom.
That's the feng shui thing to do, is to have no electronics. But I can't live without it. Like, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a city. I've always had, like, motorcycles and lots of bright lights and stuff coming through the window. There was a train stop near me, so every 15 minutes I'm hearing doors opening, doors closing. And, like, that sort of noise and cacophony brings me comfort. Because it's, you know, what I grew up with. That's what I'm used to. So not having devices around, like, it's too quiet. It's too silent. Like, camping makes me unnerved. And so,
but there's,
you
lots
know,
of
I'm
camping sounds. Do they have to be specific sounds? Because camping is pretty noisy, too, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Crickets.
And drunk people.
Yeah. I don't know, Derek. I could never sleep in a city. I mean, I grew up in a rural area, and it was nice and quiet at night. I live in a very congested area. I live in like a condo complex now. So I wake up to people screaming at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes. And, it's very frustrating. I need it to be very dark and very quiet, because once I wake up, I'm up. I can't go back to sleep. I don't know how you are with that.
Yeah. I have a hard time falling back to sleep too. I like the effect sometimes when you're having a pleasant dream and you're like, you wake up and you're like, no, 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 jump back in. We got to go back to that dream. Have you ever done that?
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I've gone back.
Yeah, of course. It is possible if you don't do anything that involves any thinking. Like, I've got this great app for, it's called I Can't Wake Up or something like that. And it makes you play mind games before it will actually turn off. So if you can imagine the annoying, like, beep, 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 or whatever kind of sound you tell it to do, and it'll be like, you know, memory game, like, where there's a bunch of squares, and you press the squares, and it flips over a different color.
Yes.
Well, you have to get rid of all the squares by finding all the pairs, or there's, like, a bunch of math addition or multiplication problems, and you have to solve all the problems before the alarm will turn off. This has been a terrific strategy for me to actually wake up. Because I don't know if about you, but I fall into the trap of, like, setting an alarm and turning it off and then falling back to sleep and sleeping right through work or anything else that I've got to do. It will ruin me. I've lost jobs this way. So this app hopefully will save my life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, see, it's the opposite for me. Like, as soon as I open my eyes, I can't go back to bed.
What do you have any recurring dreams? We've talked about dreams before on The Fiends, and, you know, I think dreams can reveal something about yourself, so I don't know. I want to know about some of your dreams. Do you have recurring ones? Like, Ian, who was on that episode, talked about he has dreams of his teeth falling out, and that's apparently a pretty common one.
Yeah, that's actually, I hope it's okay that I say this, but that's...
Apparently, it's not okay if you say that, because the NSA has drone bombed you on Fiend Phone. But I don't know. Some of my most common dreams are the ones where you've got some goal that you're trying to achieve and you just can't get there. That's a really common one for me, where it's like things keep coming up or they're in the way. For example, I'll be trying to get to, let's say I'm going to ambush interview Maggie Hassan, and like, oh, and then Chris Cantwell appears and he's talking to me about the flag thief that comes around to my door or something, and then I've got to go to the store, but then the cops have stopped and detained me and they're trying to do a pat down and check me for weapons, or and now I've got to go host the Freedom Fiends. Apparently that just happened now, so you know, like there's always some obstacle or some complication that happens that interferes with achieving the goal. Another really common one, I don't seem to have this anymore, but I know it's common for a lot of folks, is where you are naked or in your underwear when you're in a very public place. So a lot of people have this when they were going to school, or even my mom, who's a public school teacher, she'll have the reverse of the school dream, where it's the first day of school and all the students arrive and she's not ready. Like, the classroom is completely empty. It's not like I'm in my underwear dream. It's like my walls of the classroom are completely bare, and I have no idea what I'm going to do, what the lesson plan is, and all these kids are here, and they're expecting something from me. So, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I don't know. I think the NSA seriously took out Brett. We don't have him anymore. But he didn't have the internet for a week, so I guess this is just par for the course. Can't imagine what's happening over in Manchester. But Worms, we're going to get it figured out, and we will be right back on The Fiends. When we return, we may have a very special guest in studio. I'm going to ask permission for that. Hold on to your clocks, fiends.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
And this time with a very special meower. Who do we have here?
My name is Christopher Cantwell, and I think it's hilarious that you actually asked me to meow on the radio.
That was a lot of fun, right? It's called meow therapy, and it's supposed to make you feel better.
No, it doesn't. It just makes me, like this is like a Super Troopers thing, right?
Are you
like,
still, you know, like, yeah, are you still shaken from your encounter?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would be pretty scared. I got a message from Michael during the break. He says, yes, you can have Cantwell on if he's not a D to me. He just tells his story about the incident, okay? So those are the ground rules here. I'm laying them down.
All right, well, I'm about to break them, and I'm going to say that I hate Michael Dean. I think he's a worthless piece of garbage.
Whoa, come on, hey! And I just cut your mic. So, you know, I'm in charge. I got the board. You got to follow the rules. He says, you'll listen to this before you walk out of studio. He says, I'm watching the video. Holy crap. He did everything right. You can quote me on that. I got to go see if it's raining frogs. It's snowing here. And it is snowing in Wyoming. So your mic is hot. You are welcome to join me to sit down for this segment and tell us what happened.
With all the disrespect that guy has paid me, it's a lunacy to think that I'd get on here and not say what I said, and I'm really upset that you cut my mic.
I
expected better respect out of you than that. You and I are pretty good friends.
I'm supposed to be the professional
a-holes yesterday.
Yeah.
Was because you're a bigger influence in my life than you probably realize, Derek.
Aww.
Okay. When I saw what happened to you outside that courthouse, I was absolutely infuriated.
For those who don't know, I was attacked outside of a courthouse by guys who were just in court for assault. They were facing charges of assault, and I went to follow them after they left. Just being a local journalist, having an interest in this story, I followed them with my video camera, and they attacked me not once but twice. And then they called the cops, thinking that I was doing something wrong, and they got arrested and charged with crimes. So, yes, that's the incident that you're referring to outside the courthouse.
And then after that, you got turned down for a concealed carry permit, which infuriated me. Right. I went to the legislature and talked to them about that. I testified about what happened to you, and I thought it was sick. And I am furious that the people who I care about in this city walk around here unable to defend themselves.
I'm kind of a pushover in that way, right? Like, I hate that I've become too pacifist. Because I supported the right for a person to defend himself. And who knows if I'm concealed carrying at all times in violation of the law anyway. You know, that could be. It's only a misdemeanor here in New Hampshire.
And me personally, I usually open carry, but I just happen to have a light coat, light jacket over my weapon the other day. And normally I prefer to have my pistol visible so that this doesn't get to that level, right? I like open carrying because when somebody's thinking about attacking me, they see a pistol on my hip and they say, maybe I shouldn't do that. In this instance, I had a jacket on. These people came after me and when they found out I had a pistol was when I stuck it in their face. You know,
did that stop them right away? It didn't.
It didn't. They advanced on me. The guy was aware I had a gun and he came closer and I said, don't come any closer. And if you watch the video, it's in a voice that is in absolute survival mode that I think that this guy's coming towards me while I have a gun pointed at his chest. I was terrified. I thought I was this close to killing that guy. If I had an automatic, he might already be dead. I was on my trigger.
What about your interaction with the police?
It was extraordinary from my point of view because these folks arrived. I had a gun in my hand pointed at somebody and the police showed up. I am a guy who covers police brutality stories. I'm a guy who watches the scene in terms of police accountability. And I was terrified that these men were going to kill me.
Yeah.
And they didn't even pull their guns on me. They did not even draw down on me. When they came up, the guy said to them, he's got a gun. I said, I'm putting it down. I'm putting it down. I'm putting it down. I put it down. They did not even point their guns at me. They walked up to me.
Wow.
They said, Chris, relax. They know who I am. Right. They're entirely too familiar with all the terrible things that I've said about police.
Yep.
They know exactly who I am and what said. And they came up to me and they said, relax. Is that your gun? Can I take it? I said, yes, you can. They said, can I pat your pockets? I said, yes, you can.
Right.
And they looked at my video and they said, you're obviously in the right here. You attempted to retreat. You did what you had to do. We're not here to give you a hard time. They gave my gun back to me and I walked home.
How different would this situation have been if you didn't record video?
If this had happened in New York, firstly, I want to say I would have been murdered. And if I hadn't had video, who knows? I could be in prison right now.
Will you forgive me for cutting your mic? Can we hug it out?
Eventually.
Uh-oh. It's good to have you here. Will you stick around?
All right.
I have more questions about this. This is the Freedom Fiends. Meow!
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
This is the worst radio introduction. What is this?
Meow meow. Meow meow. Meow. It's therapy, man. It's therapy, and it's singing. It's a creative outlet. Just go with it, man.
No, it's terrible. It's ridiculous. Nobody takes that seriously. Why do? Come on, listeners, do you guys take calls on this show?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
If you did, they'd call in and tell you to stop meowing at the breaks. They'd tell you this is ridiculous.
I like it. I like to see people's different personality come out through the meowing. And some of them will even do other sounds. They'll do other animal sounds. Like sometimes I mixed it up earlier
Moo.
Today. Yeah, I did a cock-a-doodle-doo earlier. Just tried.
I bet you did.
So we have Brett back. He is returned from his trip to the NSA. Did they probe you? Are you safe?
You know, it's just a hot room and the computer overheated. I went through a lot to make the fiends happen this morning, and the laptop gave out due to temperature, it looks like.
Well, it wasn't Brett. It was
your
laptop.
Meowing destroyed this man's laptop. You should pay restitution.
So Brett, we were just, while you were away, with the space aliens, we were talking about Cantwell's encounter with the police, and this is something, I don't know what I would have done in this situation. I have no idea. It looked really scary, but it seems like you did everything right. First of all, you video recorded, which is number one. Everyone, if you don't have a live stream or if you're not prepared to video record and it's 2015 or later, like, what are you doing with your life? You really have to get on that.
I will go ahead and say that if you find yourself in a conflict in this world and you're not video recording it, you're about as stupid a person as I could possibly imagine. I mean, I actually left my camera here from a prior incident, and and when I realized that this was going on, I pulled out my phone, which happens to have a camera on it.
Right.
I was down a camera and I still recorded, right?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of person? Look, seriously, I mean, especially in Keene, New Hampshire, or anywhere in New Hampshire. Like, we have, Keene is this, like, smaller community of people, but there are larger communities of people in just, shall we say, other cities, right? And these people come with no media whatsoever. And I'm like, what the F is wrong with you? This doesn't make any sense. In Keene, we like know to have our cameras handy. I carry a regular camera, and I have my phone as like the backup for it. And I don't understand these people who are like, I really care about holding police accountable, and the government is evil, but I'm just gonna walk around without a camera. All right, good luck for you, pal.
Yeah, that's not going to work out in your favor. And it actually has happened a lot to an activist here in the Keene area who drives a car that's really beaten up. While he was moving to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project, his car broke down or he got in an accident or something, and it looks bad, okay? But it's operable. He's a delivery person for a pizza shop in the area, and so he's on the road a lot for his job. He's been pulled over 4 times in the last month, Chris, and he hasn't video recorded once. And I'm saying, it's your fault, man. I'm sorry. I feel bad for you, but you've got to video record, or I've got no sympathy.
I'm going
to
go ahead and say it's not his fault that he got pulled over. It's the fault of the police state. But at the same time, I know who you're talking about. I don't think that guy's actually very sympathetic to our cause. I think he's a saboteur. And
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was not a fan of the Maggie Hassan video, too.
Yeah.
He was really chewing Ian out today on the Free State Project Facebook page for what we talked about earlier on the show, where Ian and Rich confronted Governor of New Hampshire, Maggie Hassan.
That guy launched a negative SEO attack against my website. He went and created a bunch of spam backlinks, and he's a banned guy.
Well, regardless of this dude, I mean, what do you think about the Maggie Hassan video?
I think the Maggie Hassan video was brilliant.
Really? Because you don't think it sets the cause back, 10 years?
I'm so sick of people who say that. I've had it with you people who are like, hey, you guys who are actually going out and putting yourself in harm's way, you guys who are actually going out and doing something, you're the ones who are setting us back. Oh, meh, 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 meh. You upset people. Of course we're upsetting people. We're out for the abolition of the state, you moron. What did you think? Everybody was going to be happy with it? Get your lips on my behind.
So let's do devil's advocate. How does that advance that cause? A video like that, in your opinion?
Well, the way I think that it advances the cause is that if a lot more people had come out and told Maggie Hassan, hey, I don't think it's good that you imprison people for possessing plants, that the world would be a better place. It's a terribly unfortunate thing that so few people are willing to go out there and do it. It's a terribly unfortunate thing that the only thing they talked to her about was the plants, by the way, because that woman is about to veto the bill to repeal the requirement for a concealed carry permit, which would have made what I did last night a crime if it had right. been done by Derek. And I am furious at anything that makes a victim. I'm very sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. So
Derek doesn't deserve to be hurt. Derek deserves to be able to defend himself. And anybody who would do anything to harm Derek for defending himself is a criminal. It's the most evil, vile person. And I think that the people who would hurt Derek should be hurt.
Thanks, man. I'm feeling the love. But, you know, I carry anyway. Honestly, I don't care what the law says. If they say I'm not allowed to conceal carry, I can do it anyway. And the cops are probably never going to give me a problem about it. My mistake here was asking permission in the first place.
No, it wasn't.
I shouldn't have had to ask permission from the state to carry a gun.
That doesn't mean it's a mistake that you did. Because I'll tell you what, Derek, you and I are people who are going to come into contact with police.
Yeah.
And if we're breaking their laws, they're going to throw us in their jails.
But that's when I should deal with the issue. I should have dealt with it then and waited until I had some encounter with the police where they say, oh, Derek, you're breaking the law. Now we're going to charge you with a crime. I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. Why did I bring the bridge to me early?
Because you don't want to cross the bridge if I'm on trial for a crime.
Right.
Okay? That's a really reasonable thing for you to do.
Yeah, actually, for the first time in my life, I'm on the offense against the police. I actually have a case that's pending in the Supreme Court of New Hampshire against the local police here in Keene regarding that concealed carry license denial. It's baloney. But you know what? I paid thousands of dollars for that attorney. I lost at the first level. I've taken it to the Supreme Court, and they don't even have to take on the case. And they probably won't, because it is up before the House and the Senate. The House and Senate in New Hampshire both voted overwhelmingly for constitutional carry, like what Vermont has, where you don't have to ask permission from the local police if you can carry a gun concealed. You can just do it, because the Constitution says you have a right to bear arms. But Maggie Hassan, this criminal woman, has promised to veto that bill, and she's going to make the people of New Hampshire less safe because of it. Because of people like me who would follow the law if we were told we're not allowed to conceal carry.
You got assaulted outside of a courthouse where guys were being prosecuted for assault. If these people pretend that they're going to keep us safe when that happens, that's completely off the wall. This is not right. a realistic conversation that we're having. What they're fundamentally doing is saying that this guy is prone to be a victim at our hands. And that infuriates me. Like, I can't expect you to understand how angry that makes me. When you got assaulted outside of that courthouse, I told you, I said, you can call the cops or I can go after them. You might remember this.
Yeah.
Okay? And you ended up going to the cops, and I appreciate that, because I didn't want to go to jail that day.
I didn't go to the cops. They called the cops on themselves, man. That's an important part of the story, is I never involved the police. I would be against that.
If someone hadn't, I would have. Or I'd have gone after those pieces of S. I'm not screwing around. We cannot allow our people to be victimized in this city. We cannot allow ourselves to be seen as a victim class. That's a serious problem that needs to get addressed, and I will do anything to stop it, up to and including putting myself in harm's way.
Speaking of being
people,
a victim,
wait a minute, hold on 1 second. People can't see themselves as a victim class either, because that's extremely dangerous. And once that becomes comfortable, people actually go out and kind of look for those situations. And I think I've actually seen that. You know, and you hear people say, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to do this. But I almost think maybe it's subconscious. It's setting that victim situation up, because people start to feel that way.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I don't entirely disagree with what you're saying, but I want to mention that I think you're getting into dangerous territory, right? So, like, okay. We go out and we record people, and we know that it makes them angry, for example, right? And yeah. So are we, you know, asking ourselves to be victims when we do that, right? That's what I did last night. I was recording these people. They said, get away from me. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. The reason I did it was because I feared that those were violent men in the presence of distressed women. And sure enough, violent men attacked me, so I thought I was on a pretty right track. So if people are saying, you know, hey, get away from me, and I'm like, look, I'm going to exercise this, you know, right in this public space, I'm not asking for it, if you will. I think that there are some who might determine it as that, and a lot of people accused me of that in the comments of my video, said, hey, you're asking for it if you're recording people, and I don't think there's, I don't like the idea of asking for it, if you will.
Were you being a white knight?
Sorry, you're right. Yeah. Go ahead, Derek.
Were you being a white knight, Chris?
I you know, in some circumstances, I suppose you could say that I was. I really do believe that my part of no small portion of my purpose on this earth, as a man, is to please, protect, and provide for women. I really do believe that about myself.
You're such a traditionalist.
In many ways, yes. I'm also like a sexual deviant who's put more deviant sexual behavior into this world than the welfare state. But I'm just saying, that, like, I really do. I do believe that about myself. So if I see a woman in danger, it is my purpose in this world to go up and do something about it.
That's kind of nice. I mean, as much as people were sort of criticizing you on the internet for being a white knight, I was like, well, what would you do? Walk past these women who were in distress? I mean, some courageous person you are.
Well, this is the fun thing about me. One day they're calling me a woman-hating misogynist. And then right. They're calling me a white knight social justice warrior. And I'm like, look, you know what? I hate the social justice warriors. I hate the feminists. But yeah, I'm a man. I see a woman being attacked, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something about it. What the heck kind of man wouldn't do that?
Hey, do you think that these women were in the wrong for screaming? Were they not really in distress? Were they causing a problem?
I have no way of knowing what their distress levels were. The situation was clearly dangerous. They were clearly with some dangerous men, but they clearly chose to be around dangerous men because one of the women attacked me.
Crazy, man. Wow. Hey, we got redemption in the third act after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Free dumb fiends. We return for redemption in the third act. This is the part where we calm the hamster in your brain and let you know that it's all going to be okay. You know, things aren't so bad.
Yeah, they are.
It's a police state, sure, but Chris, you didn't die last night.
Amazingly, I'm still here to tell the story.
We must live in some parallel universe where you can't die, because certainly that's what should have happened last night.
Well, I don't know that that's what should have happened last night, but it certainly is what would have happened last night if what happened last night happened in New York.
Yeah.
I'd be dead. They would have gunned me down without trying to find out why I pulled a gun out on my attackers. And that's what happens when you live in a place that has strict gun control laws, that innocent people, good people who are trying to help people, end up dead. It's not just a simple situation of, well, you're not allowed to have guns, so people don't have guns, and then problems don't happen. No, it means that decent people end up dead. That's what gun control is.
Well, I'm glad to live in New Hampshire. I feel a lot more free here. I feel like the police are way friendlier than where I grew up. I mean, my DARE officer was the first person to ever pull me over. And I was 17 years old, and there were four cop cars that pulled me over, my first time being pulled over in New Jersey. And that is how crazy the police state was then. So I'm so glad I got out of there. The police here are way friendlier. They get to know you on a personal level. And like you said, I mean, you had a gun pointed out and they didn't draw on you.
They did not draw on me when they came up. They know who I am. They know that I'm the guy who wrote Gabby Giffords Begs for Another Bullet. They know that I'm the guy who wrote PA Troopers Got Off Easy when Eric Freen went out and shot cops. They know exactly who I am. They came up to me. They said, hey, Chris, relax. And they know that I'm not out here trying to hurt people,
yeah.
You know, and that's something that I think is extraordinary, and I have to give them a certain amount of respect for it, and I don't take any pleasure in doing that, by the way, right? Like, I really don't want to turn around and be like, hey, the Keene Police Department are some good guys.
You called them gentlemen in the video.
I did call them gentlemen, and I shook their hands, and I said to them, I even sent them an email afterwards. I offered to buy them lunch. I said, you know, could I buy you lunch or show you some other sign of gratitude for you coming to my aid last night? And they said, well, you know, we're not supposed to accept gratuities or that sort of thing. And I said, well, I think it would be good for us to clear some air. So whether if you need to buy your own lunch, then that's just fine. But let us break bread nonetheless. And I'm interested in seeing what their response is.
Wow, that's really good. So that was in an email and they haven't responded yet?
Yeah, that was an email that I spent not too long ago.
Because Ian's always trying to buy these guys lunch and hang out with them and they just won't do it.
I understand if they're hesitant to having lunch bought for them because they don't want financial impropriety, right? That's what I'm trying to get across to them. I said, fine, buy your own lunch, but, you know, can we just sit down and talk? Because the thing is, and I've been thinking about even calling Miola because I've had other enemies on the internet. Like, people on Twitter have said, I'm going to SWAT this guy, right? Like, so I call...
SWAT you?
Yeah, SWAT me. So the guys who were DDoSing my website, there's a story on my blog titled Hacker Wars where some guys were DDoSing my website, and the same guys who were DDoSing my website said while I was airing a podcast, they said this guy's about to get swatted.
Oh my God.
And I said, oh my God, maybe I should call Ken Miola and be like, hey, we need to have a conversation.
He's the chief of police here.
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, you know, look, I need to have a conversation with these guys. So look, I'm not going to back down from my political or philosophical disagreements with their existence as a profession. However, it's important for them to understand that I'm not stupid or crazy, you know. And I explained that to Sergeant Tenney today because I want them to know, like, I'm not a lunatic. Like, I have some serious philosophical beliefs. Those carry with them some notions that a lot of people are uncomfortable with. But, you know, I'm not. Dumb, right? Like, I'm not a maniac who wants to get himself killed, and it's important that they understand that because this is probably not going to be our last confrontation.
Well, I hope we've calmed the hamster in your brain tonight. We're all broadcasting from Keene, New Hampshire. We're all in
New Hampshire.
We're all here as part of the Free State Project. We all.
I'm
moved.
Not here as part of the Free State Project.
Oh yeah, you're right. All right. But you moved here to be around other freedom people, right?
I moved here for freedom.
I like that. I hope you will
Glad
join
to be
us
with you.
If you like freedom. I want all the freedom people here. Brett?
Yes.
School sucks?
Schoolsucksproject.com. This was fun.
Let's do this again, guys.
Absolutely.
Freedom Fiends will be back tomorrow. Worms.